day and welcome to the Q3 TGS 2012 earnings conference call. Today's call is being recorded. At this time, I would like to turn the call over to Mr. Robert Hopp. Please go ahead, sir.
Thanks, Bianca. Hello, and welcome to TGS's third quarter 2012 conference call. My name is Robert Hopp, CEO of TGS, and joining me today on the call is Kristian Johansen, our CFO. Earlier today, we posted our third quarter earnings release and a presentation of the results on our website. I hope that you've had an opportunity to view that release, and we will now give just a brief summary of the main points before opening the calls to your questions. Our Q3 2012 net revenues of $245 million were up 53% compared to the same period one year ago. We're very happy with the execution on our projects and our investment plan for the quarter. Our Q3 investments were $138 million, up 25% from Q3 last year. Net pre-funding revenues resulting from these investments were $98.6 million, up 84% from Q3 2011. This resulted in a pre-funding ratio of 72%. Net late sales of $138.7 million were up 53% from late sales in Q3 2011 and up 28% from Q2 2012. Our multi-client data library is performing very well, and this performance reflects the success that TGS has had in identifying investment opportunities in attractive basins around the world. In Q3, proprietary revenues were $7.4 million, down from $15.3 million in 2011. In Q3 2011, TGS was active on a proprietary 3D in the Barents Sea for a customer, resulting in the higher contract revenues during that period a year ago. Our business has performed very well in 2012. For the first 9 months of 2012, net revenues were $651 million, an increase of 52% compared to the same period in 2011. Net late sales during the first 9 months of 2012 were $360 million, an increase of 32% from the same period in 2011. Net pre-funding revenues for the first 9 months were $273 million, up 133% from 2011, funding 68% of the company's operational multi-client investments of $401 million. The multi-client amortization rate during Q3 was 44%, in line with our guided range for the full year of 2012. The amortization rate for the first 9 months of 2011 was 42%. We anticipate that the full year amortization will be within the guided annual range of 41%-47%. Our resulting operating profit for Q3 2012 was $101.3 million, representing 41% of net revenues. This operating profit is up 66% from Q3  2011, driven by higher revenues. Operating profit for the first 9 months of 2011 was $284 million, up 60% from the same period in 2011. Earnings per share in Q3 were $0.71 a share versus $0.41 a share a year ago, and earnings per share for the first 9 months of 2011 were $1.95 compared to $1.22 for the same period in 2011. Cash flow from operations after taxes, but before investments for Q3, was $129 million compared to $66 million a year ago. Our backlog was $153 million at the end of Q3, up 14% from one year ago, but down 19% from the end of Q2 as we recognized commitments as revenue during our heavy investment activity in Q3. Our guidance upgrade on October 8th follows two previous upgrades this year, resulting from our execution of highly supported projects as well as good performance from our existing library. The multi-client seismic market is strong, and TGS's results confirm our leadership position in this industry. We continue to see interesting opportunities for growth in all areas of our business. Our customers recognize TGS's position in the industry of providing a broad offering of geoscience data solutions that leverage the latest in technology. This data covers the globe, and our strong performance in all the regions in which we operate is a testament to this coverage. We expect to release our guidance for 2013 in the second week of January. 2012, we maintain our revised guidance as follows: multi-client library investments of $425 million-$475 million. We do expect to complete the year near the top end of this range. Average pre-funding in the range of 60%-70% of investments. An average annualized multi-client amortization rate in the range of 41%-47% of net revenues. Net revenues in the range of $870 million-$910 million. Proprietary contract revenues less than 5% of our total net revenues. At this time, we'll open the call for your questions. Please press star one to pose your question. I'll turn it over to you now, Bianca, to queue the questions.
If you would like to ask a question, please press star one at this time. Please ensure that your mute function on your telephone is switched off to allow your signal to reach our equipment. Once again, that is star one if you would like to ask a question. We now take our first question from Christopher Mollerlokken from SB1 Markets. Please go ahead.
Good morning, gentlemen. When we look on the slide 28 and 29 in your presentation, we can see that there's very limited capacity secured for fourth quarter and obviously also for 2013. How should we think about this in terms of the 2013 investment level? Is it just by accident that you haven't booked more vessels in October, or is it that the prices you get quoted are too high currently, or how should we think about this? Thank you.
Yeah. Thanks, Christopher, for the question. Our project developers are continually working on projects. I can say that the second part of your question, I can say that it's not an issue of vessels not being available. We're finding vessels available in the market. We expect as we proceed in Q4 and in the early part of 2013 to be announcing projects. I wouldn't take. We do see seasonal variations in the marine multi-client activity business, marine multi-client, actually the marine seismic business, as you know. Typically, there's a lot of seismic activity in Northwest Europe during Q2, Q3, and that tends to wind down in late Q3, so that Q4 and Q1 typically are softer quarters, both in the proprietary as well as typically the multi-client activity business. I think the pattern that we see has been expected for us, and is not unusual. I would point out, our business has grown. We're not only a marine multi-client company, and I'd point out that we're very active in our land business. In fact, it's sort of the opposite. Q4 and Q1 typically are where you ramp up activity in Canada, for example, and acquire a land data library. In terms of data collection, we're actually pretty active in Q4. You're right. In the marine business, we haven't announced any projects, I suppose, recently. Our last project that we announced was in Colombia, and we're now going to prepare to mobilize to that project here shortly. We're active in West Africa right now with the Polar Explorer on a multi-client project offshore Mauritania. I'll point out that we have an option on a 3D vessel in West Africa. It's the vessel that we're using in Angola currently right now. That option remains, and we may take action on that option at some point.
In 2012, it's Angola and the North Sea or, well, Northwest Europe have been very important for you in terms of investments. What will be the key regions in 2013 for TGS?
Yeah. You've seen what's good about our portfolio and what's good about our investment activity in 2012 is it's been widely diverse in terms of regions. I mean, we have grown our data library and grown our activity really in all of really in all of our regions. We've been active in the Gulf of Mexico, wide azimuth in 2012. We've been active, as you pointed out, in Angola and other places in West Africa. And then 2012 was a huge year for us in Australia, off the Northwest Shelf. I think as we look at 2013, and you know, Christopher, we're guiding, we're putting together our budget right now for 2013. We're in that cycle right now, and we'll be going to our board for budget approval in December. And so we expect to release our guidance in the second week of January, and we'll obviously come out with more more information on what how we see our 2013 investment. I would say that there's one area that this year has been an area of huge growth for us, and that's in the onshore multi-client business. And as I pointed out to your previous question, we're probably active in Q4. Well, I mean, our activity in Q4 is more active in that particular play than we've ever been so far this year. So I would say activity is really ramping up there, and I would expect that to continue because we see a lot of opportunity, not only in that play but in our marine plays. So I would just characterize the outlook right now. You know, oil companies are interested in data. They're exploring, and when they explore and are in the process of needing data to map prospects, our activity towards new projects is high. And I would characterize that that our project developers are quite busy right now in talking to our customers about projects late this year and early next year still.
Okay, final question. You have increased the multi-client investments this year significantly versus 2011. You have a history of growth. Would it be fair to assume that you would be able to grow the investment level even further in 2013?
Yeah, you're right. I mean, we've grown extremely fast year on year between 2011 and 2012. I can't really comment on 2013 right now as we're putting that budget together. I can tell you that as I stated in the last question, I can tell you that project development activity is quite high right now. So we're excited about what we see in 2013, and we're excited about what our customers are telling us in terms of their plans into 2013 and even in 2014. I mean, there's a lot of need for data for our customers, and I think that bodes well for our activity plans going forward.
Thank you.
Our next question comes from John Olaisen from ABG Sundal Collier. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi there. Good morning, Houston. I guess you're in Houston. A couple of follow-ups on Christopher's question. The option you have for Gecko Eagle, how long is that option for? Maybe that one first, please.
That's a good question, John. I think it's it goes into 2013. I'm not quite sure how long into 2013 that option lasts. I don't know if it has an actual termination, to be honest with you. It's an option to take the vessel at pre-negotiated terms that we negotiated when we took the vessel on initially. And I'm not quite sure. I'm not quite sure whether there's an exact termination date on that option. In other words, if we take that option now, there's not a termination date on that charter.
Okay, so not possible to say how many months or period you could actually have the boat.
That would be project dependent. Okay. And. So I think it depends on the size of the project we would put it on. I'm confident if we took that option, it would probably be through Q1 would be the likely scenario.
Mm. And is it specific for Angola? Because we know there's a big potential big multi-client job left in Angola to be carried out in 2013. Would that boat be specific for that project, or could you take the boat to other regions as well?
It's non-specific, so we could take it anywhere. So, you know, I can't comment on projects that we're working on right now for if it, you know, first of all, I can't comment on if we're going to take that option just yet, and I can't comment where we would take it.
Okay. Finally, just a question on the onshore multi-client investment level in dollar terms for 2012. Is that something you could indicate us, just a ballpark number?
Yeah, you know, we don't break that that down. That the investments are indicated in our NSA group in the numbers that we publish, both revenues as well as investment. You know, we've guided on cost range, and you could estimate, you know, what our investments might be by looking at our schedule, John. That range is roughly somewhere between $20,000 to $35,000 per square kilometer is what we've guided, so you can utilize that sort of range dependent upon, you know, the type of project to estimate our investment level.
And then a very final question for 2013: you see vessel availability, but do you see prices going up for day rates for vessels?
Well, you know, in our negotiations with vessel providers, they've always been trying to push rates up. I think we do expect, you know, with seismic demand being heavy right now relative to past years, my expectation was we might see some increases in costs. In day rates, it's not that's not the critical thing for us, John. The critical thing for us is making sure that we got a boat when we need it and where we need it. We're always concerned about cost. You always want to get day rates down, but in the dynamics of our business, we're typically able to pass those day rates through to the customer, both the pre-funding customer and then the pricing of the project once it's complete as well. But we would expect to see some increases, certainly, you know, maybe not until the summer season, but certainly probably going into the busy summer season.
And in the past, you said they're going to be countercyclical in terms of your investments. It's been one of the arguments for the high investments level over the last couple of years. How much would day rates have to increase before you actually cut down on your investment level?
Can't really answer that, I guess. It depends on the opportunities that we have in front of us, I suppose, and the dynamics. Mm-hmm. I mean, we measure our willingness to do a project on a project by project basis, and as we develop that project and put the project together, we're also negotiating for day rates. And I'll tell you, you know, sometimes depending upon the situation of the vessel supplier, even in the market we're in right now, the day rates can vary quite dramatically between vessel providers, and it depends on where a vessel might be at any given time and how that coincides with the project that we're developing. It depends on the opportunities that we're seeing right now. We're putting together our budget for 2013, and in doing that, we're evaluating the vessel market and putting that budget together. So, again, we'll guide in January on that.
Okay. Thanks a lot.
Thanks, John.
Our next question comes from Rob Pulleen of Morgan Stanley. Please go ahead.
Thank you. Hi, gentlemen. A few questions from me. First of all, if I can ask, the margins, in particular in your North and South American business, seem to have been falling this year and versus last year. Could you give us some color as to why that might be? Does that relate to the onshore surveys? Are they inherently lower margin, or do you amortize them faster? That would be great. Secondly, obviously the supply of 3D vessels, it sounds like prices are going higher, but they're still available. Do you see any new entrants coming into the vessel space that obviously would be a benefit to yourselves? And my final question is, obviously you've done some very good joint venture work with PGS in the North Sea this year to the mutual benefit of both of you, it seems. Is that something you'd look to continue next year as well?
I'll let Christian answer the first part of your question, then I'll take the second part, if that's okay.
Thanks.
Yeah, so Rod, for the margin question, I mean, this would vary very much from year to year, depending on the mix, whether you have pre-funded projects or if most of the sales come from late sales. So in your example of North and South America, you would probably see that we have a higher proportion of pre-funding this year compared to late sales due to the fact that we did the Patriot survey this year in the Gulf of Mexico, and we're also doing quite a lot of big land projects. So you could probably assume that if we have a higher proportion of pre-funding revenues compared to late sales, you would probably expect to see a slightly lower margin. But that should vary quite a lot from quarter to quarter. So it's not really a long-term trend that we see.
Okay, thank you.
On the second part of your question, in terms of new vessel entrants, typically when you have a tight vessel market, historically, those tend to be the periods where you see new companies being formed in the marine seismic business. We are aware of we're aware of at least one company that's now out looking for funding, and so we watch that because. It's interesting to us. We have historically been a good customer to those new companies, and I would not expect that to change. We're good at helping those companies shake out their vessels, I guess, and to help get their vessels to market. So I wouldn't look for that to change. And I guess, we are aware of one company that's out raising funds right now. In terms of the PGS partnership, this is a partnership that's project specific on two projects off the east coast of Canada. We were eager to do the project with PGS. They had a vessel at the time that was appropriate for that particular geology and in that particular area. This was a project that was focused on the two projects, the Labrador Sea project as well as the Flemish Pass project that we're currently working on right now. The plan is to return back to Flemish Pass and finish that next season. So the plan is that partnership would continue through to, into the Northern Hemisphere seismic season next summer. We have done partnerships with PGS in the North Sea, both in the Viking Graben as well as the Faroe Shetland Basin, and again, those were project-specific partnerships and technology-related. So I can't really comment on whether that necessarily would continue long-term. It's more of a project-by-project sort of arrangement.
Okay, that's very clear. And sorry, one follow-up, if I may, on the sort of onshore-offshore mix. I know it's too early to give guidance or too much color on 2013 as you're still going through your internal deliberations. But it's possible that we see a greater proportion of onshore in total investment next year as opposed to this year, given the opportunity you see in North America?
Yeah, I think we see a lot of opportunities in the onshore North America. We acquired a Canadian company, Canadian Data Library Company, in June, so that really ramped up. We went from zero to nothing mid-year this year, or from zero to something mid-year this year in Canada, and we're excited about the opportunities that organization is developing for us. So I see that continuing. I think our onshore business will continue through 2013. My gut feel is that it's going to continue to grow as a percentage of our total activity.
Okay, thank you very much.
Our next question comes from Christian Dyson of Pareto Securities. Please go ahead.
Good morning. Question on the vintage mix. It's been heavily skewed towards work in progress and 2012 service this year. Is there any particular reason besides investments going up this year? Should we expect sort of older vintages coming back in Q4 and into next year?
Yeah, good morning, Mr. Dyson. When I look at the vintage graph, or when you see the vintage graph, you will see that, as you recognize, a significant part of the revenues are coming from the new survey. I think that has to do with the business mix. We're doing quite a lot of big surveys. Some of them are obviously heavily pre-funded. And so I think that's something you could expect to see in the future as well, that if we ramp up investments and have high pre-funding on those investments, obviously the work in progress projects are going to be a significant part of the overall revenues in the vintage.
But you're not worried about the call it attractiveness of the older vintages. If you look at 2008-2009, it's sort of quite well below the 2x to 2.5x sales investment target that you've got. Are you too focused on your newer projects? Do you have the marketing to also go out and sort of push the older vintages now?
Yeah, I think we certainly do, and as you know, some of the old stuff carries very high margins, so it's obviously a very strong focus from our sales team to push that data into the market for sure. I think when you look at the percentage terms, obviously when we increase our sales of newer stuff, you will see that the percentage of sales from the old vintages will slightly decrease, but if you look in dollar terms, you will still see that we have healthy sales quarter by quarter.
Yeah. I would also just add to that that it varies quarter by quarter, right? And it just depends on it's tough. This is one of the tougher things to predict is what vintage an oil company is going to buy from, you know, because it's not communicated too far in advance, I suppose. It's just a quarter by quarter variation.
All right, and then on onshore, there's still quite a bit of uncertainty with regards to the returns and that business as a whole, sort of TGS historically having been a marine company. Do you have some sort of more qualitative, not guidance, but sort of data points for us, given your sort of one and a half year experience with that now, and also perhaps an historical sales to investment ratio for Arcus that you acquired this summer?
Yeah, I mean, I could say that when we got into the onshore business, onshore multi-client business, we modeled it, and I think we've communicated to the market that we don't expect the returns in that business to be, different materially from our business elsewhere. And I can tell you that the business has performed as we've modeled and as we've expected. We're on plan with that business. And I could also say that we looked at Arcus from that perspective as well, and we're even newer up in the Canadian market. We have our third project in progress right now up there. I think that even the short period of time we've had Arcus as part of the TGS family, things are operating according to plan. So we really haven't had any surprises from what we expected in that business.
All right. Thank you.
As a reminder, if you would like to ask a question, please press *1. If you find that your question has already been answered, you may remove yourself from the queue by pressing *2. Our next question comes from Amy Wong of UBS. Please go ahead.
Hi, good afternoon. My first question is on your Clarify technology. Can you give us a bit of insight into what the feedback is from your customers? And you also mentioned in your presentation that there's opportunity to reprocess your existing library. So are there particular parts of your library that you feel that it's more exciting to reprocess, and where that demand is coming from, whether that's internal or actually coming from your customers?
Well, I mean, there's a big push right now in the industry to develop technologies that broaden bandwidth in seismic. I would say that a lot of the techniques that have been developed in the industry to deliver broader bandwidth are more applicable in some geologic basins than others. There are some basins that, the Earth just doesn't return certain frequencies, certain bandwidths, just because of the geology. So that, a particular broadband technology wouldn't be as applicable in those particular areas. We have been working on Clarify now for maybe almost a year, I guess, maybe a bit longer. And it actually, the technology came out of a lot of work that we've done in Northwest Europe on our library there. So, we've actually been reprocessing some of our Northwest Europe using some of these techniques. It's a continuing like any technology in our industry. It's not a it's a technology that continues to evolve. We continue to improve and develop it. We're getting good feedback from our customers as we show our customers the results. But it's still early in the game. And you're right. The advantage of this particular solution that we're developing is it enables us to go back to our older, conventionally acquired data, and use this this processing algorithm to be able to extract broader bandwidths from that data. And not only is it useful for that, but it's also useful for applying it to some of the newer acquisition techniques out there, to such as towing your streamer deeper in the water to be able to enhance the lower frequencies. It's technology enables us to do that better than we have in the past. So we're quite excited both from the perspective of new projects, and we're excited about what we see from it that we can apply from our previous data library as well. Yeah, I would say that I would just add to that real quick. You know that one of our most profitable activities is going back and renewing our previously acquired data library. And not only are we able to sell the reprocessed version to the same clients that licensed it in the past, but we're able to attract new entrants into certain areas. And this is just another technique that will enable us to do that, just like some of the other technologies we've applied in the past, like reverse time migration and newer migration algorithms and newer isotropic or anisotropic algorithms that we've applied to our data set. So it's just a continuing evolution, and as our R&D groups come up with these new technologies, we're always going to be looking to go back and renew our data library. It's part of the magic of being a multi-client company and controlling your own data.
Thanks. I have a second unrelated question. Sorry to go back to the onshore-offshore split and trying to get more data kind of around that now. I mean, when do you think what's the decision to potentially disclose the onshore revenues and investments separately? I understand there could be some materiality thresholds that maybe at this point don't justify that. But, I mean, you do disclose your proprietary revenues as a separate line. We get that information from your financials. But, when would we expect to potentially see some more granularity around the onshore business?
Yeah, Amy, that's something we have discussed, and there has been some questions from analysts and investors on that. Like Robert said, when we look at new projects, we tend to look at the land project exactly the same way as we do with the marine project. And these projects are run under the same management in the North and South America division. So the way we treat it internally is similar to what we do in marine. But obviously, if it's getting too big and if we grow it too much, so it's a significant part of the total revenues and investments, we would have to consider to report it separately. But so far, we haven't made any decision on that.
Okay, thank you very much.
Our next question comes from Tom Ackermans of Barclays. Please go ahead.
Hi, good morning. Two questions from my side, please. First of all, on the Fugro CGG transaction, over the past couple of years, you've used quite a bit of Fugro capacity, and I guess it's fair to say that you're a bit less of a fan of CGG. How do you see that relationship developing going forward? And in relation to that, have you made any additional arrangements around the joint multi-client projects that you now have with CGG? And then secondly, I was wondering whether there was anything to say about Stingray. It's been very quiet on that front.
Yeah, so in regards to the Fugro CGG Veritas deal, Obviously, we're not part of that, so I can't really comment. The deal hasn't closed yet, so we still deal with both companies separately. Both companies have been suppliers to us in the past, so you know, we've used supply, you know, from both. Our relationships going forward with both, you know, I think as the transaction closes from their side, we'll evaluate the JV relationships we've had with Fugro and CGG in the past. And we'll deal with it at that point. But I guess right now it's kind of early to deal with that. I think those parties have to get their deal closed first before we interact with them on a go forward basis.
Okay.
Stingray, yeah. Your second part of your question was, you know, what's happening in Stingray? I think we've communicated before. We communicated when we acquired that technology that we saw it as a long-term investment to get into the production side of the geophysical business, and that outlook hasn't changed for us. We are continue to be impressed with the technology. You know, our customers we talk to that are looking at employing permanent reservoir monitoring systems are interacting with us on the technology. We see that whole sector of the geophysical business evolving and growing in the future as oil companies try to extract more oil out of their discovered fields, and we're confident that there will be a place for permanent reservoir monitoring in that activity. So we're continuing to develop the technology, continuing to work with customers to expose them to that technology, and it's proceeding as we expected.
Okay, a quick follow up maybe. If you're looking at capacity in the market at the moment, do you see any opportunities to sign sort of longer term deals, maybe signing up vessels for 6 months to a year? Is that possible in this market at all?
Yeah, I mean, as we talk to suppliers, we talk to them about scenarios like that, and I guess I wouldn't rule out us taking a what I would call a non-project by project specific charter. We did so last year. You know, we took two 3D vessels on charter. I guess we announced the charters in Q4 of 2011.
Mm-hmm.
And we locked in that capacity for the summer season in Northwest Europe. I wouldn't rule out similar things. And, you know, in the past, we have sometimes taken charters that are as long as 12 to 18 months on vessels, and I wouldn't rule that out either. You know, we look at opportunities to do that.
Great. Okay, thanks a lot.
Sure.
We take our next question from Bastien Duclos from RBC Capital Markets. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon. I have a very simple question. If you look at the presenting rate, it was still about 50 to 55%, and you had a very strong increase this year, so I can understand that the mix of projects in frontier basins helped to increase presenting, but I would like to understand how the improvement in fleet performance has helped you to increase the presenting rate in 2012, and how would you characterize a normalized level, assuming that the vessels are more efficient going forward? Thank you.
Well, you know, if I understand your question, you know, we're guided for 2012 a 60 to 70% pre-funding rate on our activity, and that's a bit higher than has been in previous years. It really has to do with where our activity is, and sort of the visibility of predicting late sales in particular projects. And we set a pre-funding rate on a project by project basis. So it has to do with a mix. It's hard to predict going forward what that would be. You know, that will be one of the elements that we guide in January when we guide for 2013. And again, that sort of guidance and that sort of that parameter is determined on the project mix that we get approved by our board in our budgeting process, which we're going through right now. So I can't really comment on that. But you know, I I wouldn't expect a, you know, enormous sort of differences from either what we've done historically and what we've done this past year. It just kind of depends on what, you know, our annual project mix is, you know, as we put that together.
But I mean, what you are saying is more efficient vessels doesn't help you to increase your prefunding rate in 2012.
No, not really. That doesn't have anything to do. I mean, with it, I suppose. I mean, we go into a project knowing the vessels that we're using, and we estimate a cost on a project based upon that vessel's efficiency and based upon our experience with that vessel, and that costing on that project, along with the revenues that we predict from the project and that we sign up for the project before we execute it, sort of determines the pre-funding rate. It really has more to do with where that project's located and what our forecasted or modeled revenue stream looks like.
Okay, thank you.
We take our next question from Jorgen Lande of Nordea Markets. Please go ahead.
Yes, good morning. One question, and I know it's difficult to answer, but you commented that you are currently seeing heavy demand. And in terms of seismic demand growth for 2013 in square kilometers, how would you expect next year to develop relative to this year based on what you see and hear as of now?
Yeah, you know, it's... I can't really characterize 2013, I guess. I guess most, in fact, Nordea probably goes out, and I think Nordea analysts have already come up with a figure, if I remember correctly, on what they expect seismic demand growth to be in 2013. I think it's probably somewhere close to 10% is what a lot of analysts are out there saying. I think that is, it's probably consistent maybe with what we're hearing from the customer base. Customers are continually talking about new projects. We're talking to customers about projects, for example, and that would occur next summer season and even before then. I guess the activity was high this time of last year as well. We're optimistic that the sort of the macro picture in the E&P industry right now seems to be pointing towards more data acquisition, and we would expect continued growth. It's kind of early to say right now how that growth would compare to with what we've seen in 2012, which at least for our data and for our projects has been quite aggressive. I think we've grown our business quite substantially based upon increased demand for projects given the quality of the projects and the location of our projects. I think our company has done a good job of putting data where our customers want it, and I think we're excited to see that likely continue into 2013, given that oil companies are continuing to explore.
Okay, thank you. And final question, how do you see the pre-funding levels develop in the Gulf of Mexico entering now?
Well, Gulf of Mexico activity has... seismic new data activity has declined, I guess, since the Macondo incident in 2010. It's coming back up. We have a few 3D vessels active in the Gulf of Mexico right now, and some seabed surveys that are occurring in the Gulf of Mexico right now. We finished up our latest wide azimuth project in July. And we're looking at additional opportunities in the Gulf of Mexico. I would say that the lease activity, we were impressed with the activity that we saw for new acreage that was on offer in the June round. The activity was broad. The activity was particularly active in our core area in the Mississippi Canyon Atwater Valley area of the Gulf of Mexico. So we were quite pleased to see that. I think we're also quite pleased to see that the government has already set a date for the next Central Gulf of Mexico round. This date, I guess the June round that we saw, that wasn't announced or proposed until January of 2012. So, at this time last year, this time a year ago, we were uncertain as to when the next Central round was going to be held, and it seems to be getting back to normal where the government is proposing to move these rounds back to a spring, late summer schedule. And they've already announced the next Central round to occur on March 20th. So that's encouraging for us. And is a further indication, I think, that E&P activity is coming back to the Gulf of Mexico and to a normal level.
Okay, thanks.
Our next question comes from Goran Andreasen of RS Plateau. Please go ahead.
Hi, guys. Just one question from me, please. It's related to Brazil. There's two license rounds coming up next year. Let's hope they're coming. But you have mainly 2D data, or only 2D data, in the region. One of your competitors has announced that they will do a survey starting this quarter, but there's also some rumors that it's pretty tough to get sufficient pre-funding in that region. How do you look at Brazil from your standpoint? How likely is it for you guys to do a survey in Brazil, 3D survey? Also considering that the Campos Basin is quite complex from a geological standpoint, hence it would require probably 3D data in the pre-salt area. Thanks.
Yeah, so we watch Brazil pretty closely because we're a joint owner in the largest 2D database in Brazil. We have continually applied new processing technology to that database, so actually the data that we offer in particular the pre-salt area that you referenced in the Santos Campos and the Espírito Santo basins of Brazil is quite fresh. It's 2D data that was acquired with the state-of-the-art technology at the time, and we've been applying state-of-the-art technology that we've developed in other subsalt and pre-salt areas to renew that database. So we're in a great position to take advantage of the license rounds that we expect to see in 2013. I will remind everybody that there are some legislative things that have to happen, I think, before those rounds get formally timed and formally announced. But it's true. It is very encouraging to see that the president has thrown her support behind two rounds occurring, a post-salt and a pre-salt round. And the position of our database in Brazil is ideal for servicing both of those rounds in 2013. You know, we look at 3D opportunities there. There definitely is 3D opportunities in Brazil. I'm not going to comment on specific opportunities and specific pre-funding conditions on it, but I think that I would expect that you would consider, given the geologic complexities that you rightly point out, I would expect to see more 3D multi-client acquired in Brazil, and we've shown that we can be a big player. I'll remind you, we're over in Angola right now acquiring a 12,500 square kilometer 3D survey for a play that's the mirror geology of what you see in the Santos Basin of Brazil. So we've got experience there. We've got experience. Our customers know we have experience in imaging geology very similar to what's in Brazil.
Very good. Thank you.
We now take a follow-up question from Amy Wong of UBS. Please go ahead.
Hi, just a housekeeping question from me. Looking at your segment information, in your other segment, corporate costs, you used to generally have a small profit in there, but this year it's trending to a loss there a year to date. So can you just give us some color behind that, please?
Yeah, so the other segments include our imaging division, and it includes GPS division and also the corporate costs. And that would obviously vary a little bit by quarter. As you see, our operating cost for the group is this quarter higher than what you've seen in previous quarters. And part of the reason for that is obviously that we have higher employee remuneration due to very strong profitability this quarter. You'll also see that we have added Arcis to our corporate costs, obviously. Partly to our corporate costs and partly to the business segment. So that's part of the reason that this cost line is slightly more negative.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks.
As a reminder, if you would like to ask a question, please press star 1. There are no further questions at this time.
Thanks, Bianca. I appreciate everybody calling in today. Thank you for participating in the call. We're quite pleased with our performance this year so far, and we have a really bright outlook to wrap up the year. It's been a good year for our business, and this is a particularly exciting year for us in that we're in our budget planning cycle right now, and are looking at opportunities going forward. We'll be happy to come in January and guide on that budgeting process and as to what we expect for 2013, and look forward to talking to you then. Thank you very much.
That will conclude today's conference call. Thank you for your participation, ladies and gentlemen. You may now disconnect.